Welcome, welcome, welcome to Alpha Omega XRK right here in Jerusalem. We are here at the Eternity Cup, and what an exciting, exciting journey this has been. The team Dueling Disciples is gathered to prepare for the final match. Let's see if we can recap the game so far. Yes, it's been amazing. I think one of the pivotal moments was when Judas received his red card and was eliminated from the rest of the match, and maybe even all future tournaments. He was a great player, and I, for one, hope that there will be a way for him to one day return to the game. There's been some really close calls. For a while, I was not sure that Thomas would get his act together and do his bit. He just seemed so doubting, so unsure of himself. But then he saw how he could overcome his fears and get the job done. The biggest comeback player this season, though, is Simon Peter. I thought he was going to become a free agent for a while there. But I'm sure he's doing well now that he's decided to stay with the Dueling Disciples. And I heard, actually, that the coach of the Athens Atheists had recently hoped to add him to their roster. This team has really demonstrated how to take fear and turn it around into excitement and hope. I think the key has been the attitude of their coach. Never have I seen him waver in his belief that his guys would come out victorious. You can sometimes see him shake his head when someone makes a mistake, but when he approaches them, it is always with an encouraging word. You get the feeling that he forgives everything for the sake of the well-being of his team. Putting his mates first before the goal of winning the game seems to motivate them to win. This is certainly a different coaching style than the opposing Pharisaic team has. I hear they have so many team rules that they don't have enough time to actually practice because they are studying the rules. Yes, I think we'll see some long-term changes in the Temple Tigers in the future, especially after their huge defeat at the hands of the Dueling Disciple team that Jesus coaches. You know, even though Jesus' coaching style is subtle, no doubt about the fact that when they go out onto the field, they wield a mighty sword of determination. Oh my, the crowd is going crazy. Jesus has just announced that he's stepping down as head coach. The team looks devastated. What will become of them? Here's a release hot off the press. The team owner may have already hired someone to become the new head coach of the Dueling Disciples. This will be an amazing story to watch as we go into the future. Will this team continue winning? Will they stick together, or will they leave and join other teams? I love this game. It's so exciting. I've been a fan and a follower of the Dueling Disciples for the last 3 years since their inception, and I'm not afraid of what their future will look like. Maybe we can get an interview later with Lord Yahweh, the team owner, and get more information about his plans for the future. Well, just a little fun. Good morning, church. And good morning to you, God. And I don't know about you, but doing things like this helps me to put into perspective some of the things that we read in the Bible. So I ask you, what does it mean to be fearless for God? The Matthew reading last week, which we refer to as the Great Commission, begins to prepare the disciples for the work they are to do. Jesus begins to teach. He teaches the disciples and encourages them to fear not. Jesus tells them that they have the power to do all that he has done and more. Recently, a friend of mine shared that she felt like she was a failure as a Christian because she could not do all the things that Jesus could do, as he said was possible in that Matthew reading. He said, "We will do all that I can do and more." She said, "I haven't done everything he did, and I certainly haven't done more. I haven't raised the dead, and nobody's touched my cloak and been healed." The disciples had those same fears that they would not be able to do what Jesus is asking without his presence among them. And I can tell you that our fear is no less real than his disciples. Remember all those times, think about it in the Bible, when the words "fear not" are spoken. It's always a sign to us that something amazing is about to happen in God's kingdom. So how then do we become fearless for God? Just a little bit about fear. Fear is a physiological response, the same response as excitement. And this makes sense. Whenever I do something that's a little bit scary, there's also a little element of excitement. Those of you, not me, who are roller coaster enthusiasts will relate to this feeling. But if our body is giving us the same signals for fear as for excitement, how can we differentiate whether to be afraid or excited? The greatest obstacle to successful discipleship is fear. It's only through faith that we can overcome our fear, because as Jesus calls us to proclaim the gospel to all the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he makes it clear that there will be many obstacles to overcome to win the battle for truth. But he doesn't tell us about the obstacles without the promise that he's equipping us to overcome those obstacles. The world puts us in a position for fear to dominate our lives. We fear for our loved ones, especially our children. We fear about the uncertainty of our future, whether we'll keep our job, will we be able to provide for our family, and the fear of the tenuous political stability of the world. How quickly the international scene can change is mind-boggling to me. But God puts us in a position to allow excitement to replace fear in our lives. Do not fear. You are of great value to God. Through faith in God's promise, we can know that we will get through all the possible uncertainties of the future. It's not an easy journey. We will often have times that we have to go against the world fully armored with the sword of truth. How then can we interpret the challenges of life as opportunities for new exciting things, rather than sometimes giving in to debilitating fear? Can the hardships we face be a source of fear or an opportunity to exercise our faith? Can we get away from the idea that God puts hardship in our lives to move to believe that what God does is equip us to overcome hardship and tragedy? There's no God willing in the tragedies of our lives, but there is a God willing in the strength to get through them. Can we remember that God used the tragedy of the cross as an event, the event, to realize the greatest promise ever made to humankind? If God can do this, what is possible in our lives? If Jesus could endure the cross for us, what can we endure for Jesus? Can we become fearless for God? Can we be excited for God? Like my friend, I often wonder why I can't do all that Jesus could do. No one has ever been healed by touching my garment, but there have been some who have been healed by the way we touch their lives. Each of us has helped someone in a time of grief or depression and encouraged them, as it says in today's reading, to wake up. You are not dead. There's more life for you. The point is that what we do for Jesus will be different than what Jesus does for us. And it's because of what Jesus does for us that we can indeed do his work in the world. Our stories as disciples will not look exactly like the story of the early disciples, but it will be every bit as powerful. God has a plan for our future, to win the fight against evil and ignorance. You are a first round draft pick. God has drafted you to be on his team. Amen. Let us stand and profess our faith using the words of the night.